After 6 years in the Assembly, Assembly Democrat Fred Clark, who represents the 81st District from Sauk City, has decided to retire. Fred, thank you for talking to Wisconsin Eye about your decision.
You bet.
My first question is why?
Tough choice to make, Steve. I really had to sit with that one for a while. And I've really enjoyed public service. It's been an incredibly meaningful experience to represent people in an assembly district. And I finally decided that for partly personal reasons and partly the fact that I've been an entrepreneur at heart all my life, and I've got at least one more chapter in business that I wanted to pursue, and I decided that this was the time to do it.
Well, you're trained as a forester. Are you going to go back to that business?
I'm going to be working in forestry and wood products. Yeah.
You are. Are you going to have your own business again?
That's right.
You are.
Yep.
Tell us about this table, Mr. Forrester.
Well, this table came about because when I moved into this office with my staff in January of 2013, I had a $35 value steel case teacher's desk in here that DOA told me was our office furniture.
You were not impressed.
I said, that's not going to stand. So I had some old white pine planks from a property I'd managed in Iowa County that I'd had in my barn for years. And I pulled them out, I planed them, and put this thing together over the course of about a month. And it's worked out pretty well. We've had a lot of meetings with constituents, agency folks around this table over the last 2 years.
Is this wood from the 81st District? No, huh?
No, it would be the 51st District,
51st
up
district.
Near Dodgeville.
Okay.
But I've informed Representative Mark Line, who currently serves that district, that we've got some of his
constituents. You can't have his wood back?
Here. That's right.
You That's came right. in the Dem sweep year when Governor Doyle and Democrats ran the Assembly and the Senate.
Yep.
There's your first 2 years.
That's right.
Your last four, you're in the minority.
That's right.
Talk to me about the difference. What's it like to be in the minority? Did that play a large role in your decision?
Well, in this environment, the environment we're in today, being in the minority is an especially difficult thing to do. Because, again, I've been here 6 years. I don't have a 30-year institutional memory like many legislators who are leaving. But it's hard to imagine that the environment could be more partisan than it is right now. And so as a member of the minority, your ability to advance policies and legislation is extremely limited. I'm proud that we've been able to get a few things done. But quite honestly, for the $55 million or so that taxpayers spend funding a legislature to operate, if everybody's just going to come in and vote the party line, sometimes you have to wonder, you know, why we're doing it.
How is the environment more at risk than when you entered this building in 6 years ago?
You mean our outdoor environment?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a huge change, I think, of emphasis and attitude. You know, I came in a Democratic wave. I felt, as an environmentalist and a natural resource manager most of my career, that has always been one of my strongest interests. And I've been proud to be part of a state that has placed environmental protection at sort of at the top of the list of mm-hmm. things that are our priorities. Mm-hmm. And I think we've done that for a long time in Wisconsin because conservatives and progressives, liberals, whatever you want to call them, all generally shared an understanding that protecting the environment was good for business. And unfortunately, that understanding has been eroded, or in some cases, it's been lost. And as we've moved down a road of deregulation, of allowing polluters and intensive industries that have a huge effect on our environment to operate with minimal oversight and regulation, I am deeply concerned that we will be paying a price for that change.
Well, best example of that, you worked very hard on the mining bill.
That's right.
Is that your exhibit A of why the environment in Wisconsin is at more peril?
It's exhibit A in the sense of the huge significance of that legislation and what it could do in this state, and also more broadly, the example that it sets, that it has set, that essentially, you know, our environment and our regulations are for sale to the highest bidder. And I choose those words carefully, but I think that given the circumstances of a single out-of-state mining company that came in here and essentially whistled a tune that this legislature danced to for about 3 years, I think it's appropriate. They wrote themselves a custom law to allow them to do what they want, and if that mine is built under these regulations, I deeply concerned about what the effect would be on that entire ecoregion up there.
With all the major players in that debate over the mine, DNR, the federal government, and the tribes, do you look for that mine ever to open, Representative Clark?
It's hard to imagine that mine would ever open. But we know that the US EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers, you know, would intend to operate independently if they do apply for a full permit. But we also know that experienced mining experts who understand Wisconsin's iron ore resource have said time and again that this is not an economical ore deposit. So people who should know better than anybody are still mystified why Gugibec Taconite is continuing to pursue this project and what their actual agenda is.
Are you, you represent the hills of Baraboo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You moved back to Baraboo.
That's right.
You and Senator Schultz, are you concerned that the same changes that you say favored the mining company could be used to develop to mine the Baraboo Hills?
It's possible. If you look around where the iron ore bodies are in Wisconsin, the Baraboo Range is one of a very few other places where there had been and is commercial ore deposits. It really all comes down to what's the price of that commodity in the market. And if the price gets high enough, is it possible that somebody would want to mine in Baraboo? Sure. 10 years ago, people wouldn't have given you odds that somebody would have wanted to build an iron mine in the Pinoki Range. But, you know, as we see, that those things can change. So I'm deeply concerned about what the impact of that law could be in Sauk County.
Well, you've been fighting the good fight on some of these issues. Are you just tired of losing and want to move on?
Losing gets old. There's no doubt about that. That being said, you know, I came into this job never assuming that it was going to be the rest of my career. In the first day that I ran, I kind of viewed serving in the legislature like you might view being the president of your church. That I was a member of the community who was ready to step up and play that role for a while. I think 6 years is I've given it my best, and I believe that now it's time for somebody else.
As a forester and somebody who's worked on these related issues, I have to ask you this question. How real is the threat of climate change?
I think the threat of climate change is very real.
Can one state do anything about it?
Well, there's a couple things that need to happen with climate change. Can Wisconsin change the trajectory of climate change alone? Absolutely not. That's a worldwide problem. But do we have an obligation to prepare for climate change by managing our natural resources in the best way possible? Absolutely. And if you look at other states that have led in this issue, like California, you know, they're actually doing both. Protecting forests, protecting our agricultural crops so that not only are they absorbing carbon and helping sort of contribute to a cleaner atmosphere, but also managing those resources in a way that prepares us for the disturbances and the stresses that are going to come with climate change. If we don't do that, we're absolutely foolish. We're putting our head in the sand. And I think, unfortunately, climate change is an example of an issue that has become politicized and become extremely partisan, and the Tea Party will basically go after any member of the Republican Party who even mentions the word climate change. And we saw that with the forum that Representative Mersaw and I put on. I think that's really unfortunate.
Well, you've been, the issue that you worked hardest on, would it be mining or Act 10? Talk about Act 10. What's the legacy of Act 10 3 years later?
Yeah. You know, the legacy of Act 10 3 years later, unfortunately, and of course it applies in so many sectors of Wisconsin, but I think it's a state that's still more divided than it ever was. I think it's a state where the public value that's placed on education, as an example, has been reduced, it's been denigrated. You know, we've talked to school administrators and teachers and school leaders around the state who have said that it's harder than ever to attract good teachers. And teachers will tell us the pride in the profession has gone away. There are teachers who are embarrassed to tell their neighbors or the friends of theirs in the community that they're a teacher. And that's part of the legacy of Act 10, and I think that's a shame.
Does that legacy make it easier for Democrats like you to just say, I'm not going to seek one more term? Is it a major factor in your decision?
I think, Steve, the partisanship and the fact that the agenda of the majority party right now is in many ways so extreme and so insulated from any modification or moderation or bipartisanship, it certainly makes it tougher for a Democrat to find satisfaction and meaning in this job. That's true. Now, the one thing I would say, though, it's very important, is that, you know, we're not only here to pass laws, you know, we're here to represent the people at home. And from that regard, I continue to work very hard to represent everybody at home, regardless of how they voted. And I'll continue to do that till the end of this term. That never changes.
You came in with the Democratic sweep.
Yeah.
The budget that you voted for then in 2009 raised taxes and made some other decisions. Mm-hmm. Did you think that budget would cost your party control of the Assembly and the Senate and the governorship, or were there other forces that made the pendulum swing?
Well, did I think that? No. Of course, in your first term as a legislator, and I'm someone who had never been in elected public office before, there's a lot to learn. We were passing a budget in the face of a historic recession, certainly one of the toughest economic challenges in the nation since the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. I think in the 2010 elections, when the pendulum swung back, we were affected both by the national sweep that conservatives and the Tea Party especially held in that election year, but Democrats in Wisconsin made their own bed in some regard too, and I will simply say that the leadership in the Senate and the Assembly and in the governor's office in the 2009-2010 term were not working well together. Senator Decker, Assembly Speaker Sheridan, and Governor Doyle did not share a vision of the state that they could effectively put forward.
What did you learn about politics when you decided to challenge Senator Olson in the recall election?
Well, I learned that politics can get really ugly and really personal. It was a difficult choice for me to make because personally, Senator Olson and I liked each other, mm-hmm. and we worked together mm-hmm. on a number of local issues. So the choice to challenge him in a recall election was one that I didn't make lightly. I think even knowing how acrimonious that election was going to be, I was still surprised by the amount of money that was thrown at it by outside groups and the nastiness that went on with a lot of the electioneering during that time.
Because of the nastiness that you discovered, would you make the same decision again to challenge him in a recall?
You know, I've thought about that, and I would.
You would?
Yeah. And the reason is that there was a lot at stake. And what Governor Walker had done, you know, with Act 10 was to literally light a fire. Well, I suppose it wasn't literal, but to light a fire in this state that divided the state against itself. And I think that's not a way to govern, regardless of what his policy, regardless of what he wanted to pursue. I think that was not the way to govern. And, yep, I'd do it over.
You would. Maybe a final question. What's your advice to the next person who's elected in the 81st Assembly District?
As an elected representative, it's your obligation to represent everybody. So when your phone rings, it doesn't matter whether they voted for you or voted for your opponent or whether they didn't vote at all. Mm-hmm. You represent all 57,000 people in that district, and you have to do your best to serve their interests. When it comes time to vote, you have to do your best to be a steward and a trustee of the interests of your constituents. And you know that they won't always agree. Many issues are deeply controversial, but you have to, I think your integrity requires you to do what's best for your district. And I think if every legislator did that, we'd be in better shape.
Maybe a very quick follow-up. Tell me about the 81st, because it was just redrawn. Is it a largely rural district?
It's still largely rural. It was the cities of Baraboo and Portage, a number of smaller villages, Most of eastern Sauk County is still rural, as is the portions of northwest Dane County and eastern Columbia County that we have. It's a great place to get educated as a legislator on farming, on conservation, natural resources, small manufacturing. We've really got a great breadth of people and enterprises going on there.
Excellent. Democratic Representative Fred Clark, thanks for your time. Let's both knock on wood for good luck.
Thank you, Steve.
There we go. Thank you.
Yep.
The dialogue.